When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Team Selection Podcast on the AFL Ratings Network. My name is Pete, and I go by the name of AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter. I'd like to welcome in co-host, Seven Purse Ryan Daniels. G'day, Rhino.
G'day, Pete. How are we doing? Round 20. Can't believe we're here.
Yeah, only a few weeks left in the season, home and away season to go. So let's get into some notable players to discuss in round 20. We'll go to Collingwood first. Markov into the team. Played that halfback role. Brad Hill out. Due to illness, so let's get on to the Carlton. Big changes here. Cripps in, Martin in, Owies in, Pitnett in, straight into the ruck. Chera back into the midfield, Marchbank. Unlucky players here as well. Not only injuries there, Cowan, Dow, unfortunately. He'd probably be somewhere else next year, you would think. Honey, Curnow out, Sam Walsh, hamstring, and Jack Silvani, knee injury.
Yeah, a lot to digest there. And obviously coming off the game last week against West Coast, also hard to gauge that game being so one-sided. So I suppose the big one there is Walsh out and Cripps back in, along with Chera. Plenty of midfield ball to go around. I'd be pretty, if Chera wasn't coming off an injury, I would be really high on Chera, because we've seen with Walsh out in the past, he can be quite prolific when he has the right role. And he'd be interesting. Now, the fact that he only missed a week, right? So it obviously wasn't too serious, and there's every chance it was just a rest because they're playing the Eagles. So I'd be keeping a very close eye on Adam Chera. Out of all of that collection of information, he's probably the one I would take.
On to Geelong and Fremantle. So Gary Rowan into the team, O'Connor into the sub position at this stage. James Aish in for Fremantle. Matt Johnson out at this stage. So thoughts on Fremantle? What is happening there as well?
It's been a really disappointing season. They've tried a bunch of different combinations. They've got a fair few injuries at the moment. I think Heath Chapman's not too far away. He played in the Waffle last week, played okay. He's one to watch sort of in the latter part of the year, but really they're just trying to save face at this point. I mean, James Aish is a veteran. He can play him in the middle, gives him a bit of size. They need to be better out of that contest. They've been really poor in there all year. The midfield mix clearly isn't right. Johnson and Erasmus have had really promising seasons, but they're still very young and very raw. A lot of the heavy lifting's been on Caleb Sarong, who's done a great job, but there's just too few left to do all of the work at Fremantle at the moment. And obviously Sean Darcy ruled out for the year, which gives Luke Jackson a very clean runway to high scoring for the remainder of the season.
On to the Bulldogs and Giants here at Ballarat Mars Stadium there. So there's some wind about. Just be prepared that that ball is going to sit on one of the wings and just be plenty of boundary throw-ins there as well. And that could impact plenty of fantasy scores there. So Johannesson lob in for the Bulldogs along with Bailey Williams there into the 22 this week. Baker, Rolly West into the sub position at this stage, and Buku Kamas out. Whereas the Giants, Lockie Keith in and Nick Haynes to the sub position now with Keith coming in. It's probably more of a sign that Himmelberg does stay behind the ball again, I would say. So Kingsley has been very reluctant to moving forward. So it's, you know, as the weeks go on, it's pretty much that he's going to stay in defence, and Keith coming in and just bring the ball to ground. That's going to help out the small forwards there for the Giants there. So a bit going on. Johannesson, the halfback, is quite nice as well.
Yeah, and the Himmelberg thing is a big one, because I mean, we talked a lot about him at the start of the year and where he would play, and then when he was going to go back, we weren't sure if it was going to stick. But what it's coincided with is their turnaround in form. Mm. Now, I'm not saying it's all because of Himmelberg. It's probably, you know, got a contribution. But if you're the coach and the staff and the match of the selection panel at the Giants, and you're going, you know, we look pretty great when Himmelberg's down there. Like, whatever reason, it's working. So you're not about to change something that's really worked for you to turn your season around in any hurry. So that's a good sign for him. Johannesson's a nice pickup. I think I picked him up in my keeper league this week as a back forward eligible player who can, who was going pretty well score wise before he got hurt. Like he was having a little mini breakout month there. And the other one, mate, who's, you know, not an in or an out this week, but Sam Taylor, has been scoring pretty well for the Giants. And you've noticed that Nick Hayne has taken a step back. I think he's out again of the site this week, as a sub. He's really struggled since Himmelberg's gone back and Taylor's sort of been back in the side and scoring okay. Haynes has been the one that suffered.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Taylor definitely in career best form, and we know he is an Australian caliber type player there as well. So on to Gold Coast versus Brisbane. So Lemons and Roses in, a bit of small forward action there as well. Long, who got torched by Toby Green last week out, and Oya out of the team as well. And for Brisbane, Lohman in, and unfortunately Will Ashcroft ACL out for 12 months.
Yeah, that one really sucks. It's, you know, he's such a promising player, and you really hope this doesn't dent his career ceiling and trajectory. You really want him to fulfill every bit of talent that he has because he's got plenty. I'm sure he'll put the work in and he'll be fine. I was waiting to see what they would do, the Lions, whether it would be David Robertson, Jared Lyons, what they would do. Who was the inclusion again?
Kyle Lohman.
Yeah, okay. So I do like him a lot, actually. I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's going to be a really good player. But obviously, they're pretty happy with the midfield mix that they've got. And Fletcher was pretty good last week, got the Rising Star nod. So he should have a pretty big finish to the season as well. So not a lot of change to talk about. I guess the one thing is that Flanders, you know, he's still going to keep eating. He's had a huge 5 weeks, massive 5 weeks, really career-altering in terms of real life. And he's been amazing if you've got him in fantasy. So a real game changer. We see it every year, Pete. There's always a guy who at the halfway point or even later changes roles. And it was Himmelberg last year. It's Flanders this year that can actually win you a title. So it's why you never sleep on that waiver wire at any point in the year, because it can always shift.
Absolutely. So he's in the midfield, inside midfield usage, finding plenty of ball there as well. And just back onto Brisbane there, with Ashcroft out, and obviously he was playing inside midfield, I would expect, obviously Dunkley did return last week, but I would expect Hugh McCluggage to see a fair amount of time inside midfield there as well. So let's move on to Essendon City. So Enzi in, Hind in, Ridley out with the quad, Stringer now with a foot issue there as well, could miss multiple weeks as per Mitch Cleary tonight. And then Sydney, no change there as well. So a bit of a change up from Essendon. They're falling away a little bit, not too much from a fantasy perspective, except for probably Ridley there.
Yeah, and upheaval from the back line. Because last week, I had a stat about this at the start of the week. I think it was something like 70 marks or something between five defenders. It was absurd. Like almost every one of their defenders took 10 marks. I think Heppel and McGrath took 9 each. And they were the only two that were under 10. It was actually quite incredible how many marks the defenders took. Now, was that because of the Bulldogs game plan? It made me think, do I need to pick up GWS defenders this week? Is that the move? Or is it just how Essendon's going to play to finish the season? You know, that sort of, let's hold the ball up. Let's not let things get too carried away. And I was saying this to someone the other day on the Hardball Gets podcast that I'm on. It's a way that coaches like to play when they want to keep the games from being blowouts. So, and if you've noticed with Essendon this year, there's not really many games where they've been blown out. They've either won the game or they've lost by somewhere in the range of, you know, 10 to 35 points. You're not seeing 80-point losses for Essendon. You're just not seeing it. Even in the game against Geelong where they got smashed at the start, I'm pretty sure they came back and lowered the margin a bit. It's a real possessive game plan, and Brad Scott's clearly doing it because he probably thinks he doesn't quite have the cattle to win a lot of games, but it's a way to not get embarrassed in games and to keep the games close.
Yeah, their ball movement against the Bulldogs was very slow from their back half. So let's go on to Adelaide versus Port. Adelaide showdown, big game this. Keenan for his debut at the Crows, Michelini there as well. Rory Led returns from his shoulder injury. Cook out, Murray, unfortunately, ACL there, and Rankin out of that team there as well with a bad hamstring, and no Rochelle, no Rankin. So that's a forward line. The small forwards are down on stocks a little bit for the Crows. So on to Port Adelaide, Darcy Byrne-Jones into the 22. Lysette's out, so Vicentini gets another go there as well. Dylan Williams to halfback. Travis Boak into the sub position at the moment, and obviously Willie Rioli out suspended there as well. Thoughts?
Yeah, a lot to unpack for those two teams. The other one you didn't mention is your man. I know you're keen on him, Nate Curvis. He was good last week, and he's named in the team again. So I've picked him up on your advice and stashed him away for future reference. He was the one that held, and also Schomburg held, and he was pretty good last week, Schomburg. And then Matty Crouch stayed in that team as well, and again, he was okay last week as well. So it's a different-looking Adelaide to the one that we've seen all season. You mentioned Rochelle and Rankin out. I mean, those guys are really both their X factors. When they're winning, it's because those two guys are up and about. So it's a big dent in their team. I would expect Port Adelaide to win this game pretty easily, even though, who knows, the showdown. And in Port Adelaide, yeah, Travis Boak, I mean, I would say that there's a pretty good chance that Boak is, you know, starting to ease out of his career, whether this is his last year or not, or he can go on for one more, depending on whether they carry him or not. But he's no longer a key figure in that team. And Vicente, I think, is that how you say it? Vicente, the ruckman?
Vicentini, yeah.
Vicentini. I think he scored 9 in his debut last time. Everyone got a bit excited and thought, we'll add this kid because we need a ruckman. He wasn't exactly prolific. Be wary if you're signing him to give you any sort of on-field help. That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years away from being fully ready, Dante is. And just on any draft league or so, definitely keeper league there as well, Luke Nankervis. If you've got deep benches, go and pick him up right now. Here's a future halfback. Here's a future halfbacker for you, and can find plenty of ball there as well. So let's move on to Sunday squads. Notable players that will pretty much be outs here, named outs. So Hawthorn, Amon, Granger, Barras, Reeves out, unfortunately, there as well. So Meek should get that ruck roll. Howard out, injured, and Brad Hill as well there for the Saints. On to Melbourne, Sparrow injured there as well. Ben Brown just not in favour as a key forward. And they're still looking for that key forward there at Melbourne. So they'll keep trolling that. That's sort of matched the Brodie Grundy situation. But, you know, listening to Simon Goodwin over a long period of time, he actually prefers Harrison Petty there as well. And that's pretty much Harrison Petty over Brodie Grundy right there now. And on to West Coast, and you can provide some updates here as well. Luke Shuey out, unfortunately injured. Petrischi sitting there as well. And just for the Kangaroos, Liam Shields sidelined with injury thoughts.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there again. A few draft-relevant guys missing. Bradley Hill, that's a burn. He's been pretty good this season. The Grundy thing is fascinating. Clearly Petty is preferred at the moment. I think Grundy just needs to get a run at it. I don't know how that's going to play out for the rest of the season, but anyone who owns Max Gawn is hoping that he stays in the VFL. And anyone who owns Grundy is not quite sure what's going on in their life. There's a bit going on there. In terms of West Coast, Elliot Yeo's named on an extended bench. I'd expect him to play. And then they said he turned the corner last year. Last week he trained fully. He's done all the training this week. They really need him. They need to win that game or at least stay close. They cannot get belted by North Melbourne on their home turf, having both lost 16 games in a row, which I think, by the way, is the first time that's ever happened, two teams go into a game with that many losses each. So it's a game that West Coast need to win. I think Yeo will have to play. He'll probably have to play in the middle, which, you know, might not be the best thing for his health, but West Coast are in desperation mode. So they're going to struggle. There's no key defenders to stop Nick Larkey. So if you need a flyer as a forward, Nick Larkey's probably a pretty good idea because their tallest defenders are Rhett Bazo, potentially Josh Rotham. We saw what Curnow did to them last week. Oscar Allen had to go back at one point. He still had 6 kicked on him. So, yeah, there's a danger game there for West Coast for sure.
Where can the listeners find you this week, Ryan?
Usual spots, mate. Hardball Gets podcast. Gave that a plug earlier. Triple M on the radio. Footy Rhino on Twitter and on Threads. So, yep, the usual spots.
You can find me at AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter, aflratings.com.au for a stack of fantasy information, AFL Ratings and associated Twitter accounts there as well. Well, Ryan, until team selection next week, have a great weekend. Good luck to the listeners in round 20.
Beauty. Thanks, Pete.